So we'll start at 16, and we're going to look at a little Abrahamic arithmetic, and in hopes of getting an idea of Abram's walk with the Lord and how the Lord has reflected that walk in numbers. He's recorded this activity, his spiritual activity, and the key is in the numbers that are listed. So we'll start in 16, and we'll read down to verse 3, open up in prayer, then we'll get started here. Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in to my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your long suffering. We pray as we approach your word today, we pray as always for more insight and enlightenment as we read your word. We thank you for all those who are tuned in. We pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive your word. We pray that the edification and enlightenment would come as we read and believe it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, we're picking up in 16, like I said. But before we get to 16, we'll go back to chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was... Write this down. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So we have Abram's age, 75, when he begins, the scripture says he departed out of Haran and comes into the land of Canaan. And last week we saw where Abram goes on in chapter 13. In chapter 13, he's with Lot. And he finally, in chapter 13, verse 14, he finally is rid of Lot. Well, that's a little harsh, isn't it? He finally separates from Lot. In chapter 13, 14, And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Do you remember last week? Well, I don't know if it was last week or the week before last, what we said Lot, the name Lot meant?
Veil.
So it's not until Abraham or Abram is not until the metaphorical Lot, the veil is lifted from his eyes, that the Lord is able to show him the complete inheritance that's promised to him. He didn't do as long as Lot was with him, he didn't show it to him. But the moment that Lot separates, the moment that veil is lifted from his eyes, God is able to show him what he has promised to him and to his seed. In chapter 14, we see that he's Abram. He meets Melchizedek. In chapter 14, verse 17, the priest of the Most High God, and he gives Melchizedek tithes of all. Verse 14, 17. And the king of Sodom went to meet him, after Abram, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the Vale of Sheba, which is in the king's dale, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. So Abram gives Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, he gives him tithes of all, a tenth of everything. And when the king of Sodom, verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Now, I'm just stopping through these chapters because we're seeing these activities of Abram, and they're all significant. We're not going into all the details, but Abram gives Melchizedek a tenth of all, honoring the Most High God through Melchizedek. I think I said that backwards too last week, or the week before last. I can't remember. But Abram gives Melchizedek a tithe of all, a tenth of all. Now, this is before the law, and we've discussed this before. This is prior to the law. You know, we will say, you may have heard this said, that tithing is under the law. Well, Moses is not even born yet. And here you have Abram giving a tenth to Melchizedek. So the principle is that 10, that honor principle, is there. And when I say the honor principle, it ties back to the image principle. That is something that's established from the beginning. So when you're going through scripture and sharing, when you see the number 10, you should always think of the honor that's being given, the respect, the reverence that's being given, the glory that's being given to somebody. And 80% of the time is directed from that person toward God. And that's a principle you can remember when you start seeing the number 1, the number 10, the number 100, 1,000, 10,000. You'll see, and I think it says a thousands times thousands or 10,000 times 10,000s. Whenever you see it, you can look to see who's being honored, who's being glorified, or who's not being honored, and who's not being glorified. Or that person is who is demonstrating the characteristics of the image or worshiping and serving faithfully, or who is not demonstrating the characteristic of the image and not worshiping and serving correctly. And you'll go through that, and 10 times out of 10, it won't fail. You'll see it and it'll come through clear. So Abram gives Melchizedek tenth, a tithe of all, honoring the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God who had delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. There's the blessed be the Most High God. Abram is glorifying the Most High God for the victory, because this is his walk. Remember, he's the 10th one from Noah. So he's manifesting now. So far, so good, right? He's manifesting principles. He's on his way. We'll say he's on his way. In chapter 15, here's the passage we looked at last week, where God brings Abram forth, and he, verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the, well, I better pick up at 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. I like that part in verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now compare that to his other lords that he was worshiping. He couldn't say that those lords did anything for him. Delivered his enemies into his hand, promised him an inheritance, promised him to be an heir, took him to a land that he was now dwelling in, and other things that he is going to do for him. He says in verse 7, I'm that Lord. I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when Sharon asked that question last week, and unfortunately, I don't have any definite information on that I'm comfortable with. Other than this, I will say this. Those offerings, they are all in Scripture. They are all dealing with either sin or burnt offerings or cleansing or purifying. And the turtle doves and the pigeons were... hold on one moment there. I was scribbled something down. Luke. Look at Luke chapter 2.
Purification.
This is right. This is when the Lord has. Well, let's read Luke chapter 2, verse 21. We'll start at 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that goes back to the Levitical offerings in Numbers. But when the male child was born, well, I guess I better go over the Numbers now. Numbers 19. Let's start at I thought it was 19, but I'm not seeing that verse that I wanted. So we'll move on from there, and maybe it'll come to me once I.
What did the verse have to do with?
It had the cleansing in there, and. When a woman, if she had born a maid or a man child, this is what she was to offer, what she was to do. But that's not, I thought it was in 19, but it's not in 19. No.
Could it have been in Leviticus and not Numbers?
It could have been in Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, let's see, Leviticus 19. Let's try Leviticus 19. You know, that's they say the best memory is no match for a pen and paper, and that's true. So we're going to go back to Genesis 15. We'll come back to that some other time. But he causes verse 12, he causes a deep sleep to come upon Abram. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And this is, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but the same thing he did to Adam, the same thing he did to when Noah was awoke out of his sleep, when Adam was in a deep sleep. These men are all leaders. These men are all in charge, in trust of being fruitful, multiplying, and replenishing. There's your three right there, Sharon. These men are designated as the type of the image to bring forth a godly seed. So when Adam is in a deep sleep, he has nothing to do with what the Lord is doing. I think the Lord created him last, and he put Adam in a deep sleep, and from him he made the woman the means by which he would multiply, replenish, the means by which he would be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Noah, he's in a sleep, and that's a little different, but when he awakes out of his sleep, let me go back to getting a little sidetracked, but 18, we'll start at 18. This is a little different. This is how, verse 18, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And notice, Sharon, there's your three again. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. How did they overspread the whole earth with just three men? They were fruitful, they multiplied, and they brought forth fruit. They replenished or overspread the earth. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered and in his tent. And Adam, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. Verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now, that's a little indirect, but the key verse is 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent. The drunkenness is what caused him to sleep, and his job of being a husbandman, I see that as a type. A husbandman, you know, over in Corinthians, where Paul said, we are God's husbandry. Hold your hand in Genesis 9. Let's go back to Corinthians. I heard Pastor Smith this morning. He said something about that in a different way, but he said, we are from the dust of the ground. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted. What are you planting in?
Soil.
You plant in the ground, right? Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Sharon, how many is that? Plant, water, increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What I'm getting at here, and we'll read the rest of this, Noah was to... The statement was his sons overspread the earth, but he was in charge of the planting and watering. That is, instilling information into his sons and his seed after him. Verse 7, verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. If the people are God's husbandry, what are the people called who labor in the husbandry?
Husbandmen.
Husbandmen. Yes. First Timothy. Just adding to a little bit here before we get back. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse, let's see, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse, let's just start at verse 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy, yes, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now think of this and equate this to Genesis. And I think Perry mentioned these verses last week in a class he was teaching about the enduring hardness. But anyway, that's a side note. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So Noah's job as a husbandman was not to plant the vineyard and be drunken, but it was to be vigilant, to be a wise husbandman, to labor faithfully. And part of that was for him to be sober-minded. Paul said this in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, you can see here, Noah, he fell off his job as the chief husbandman, we'll say it that way. And his sleep was not a good sleep. But Abram, when God puts him in a deep sleep, back to 15. He gives Genesis 12 or 15:12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great abundance. So he gives him a promise, and this has nothing to do with, he has no input into this. Other than the sacrifices that he divided and offered, this is something that God is going to do. He is going to bring his seed out with great abundance, and that comes up later. So we get to 16, after all that, 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in to my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. Bad choice.
Listen to the wrong voice.
Bad, right. God had already promised him twice that it's going to be your seed. Verse 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt, write that down, 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Verse 16. We don't have to read all that. Verse 16. Verse 15. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his name, his son's name, which, And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was, write this down, 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So here's where the numbers come in, where you have 75 Abram's called to go into the land of Canaan, and he comes into the land of Canaan, where the Lord promised him a seed and promised him the land, promised him a great multitude, and they have no children. So Abram dwells in the land 10 years. So Blake, a good image waiter, a good image man, a good man bearing the image, what would he do after 10 years if he had no child?
He will wait.
Wait, yeah. Wait longer.
He'd wait longer. You mean he wouldn't go in and hearken to his wife to make some improvision here?
No.
Okay.
Shouldn't.
He shouldn't, right. He shouldn't, but here we have, he goes in, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So you have, when he is supposed to honor, continue in patience and wait, he goes in and he has Ishmael. In chapter 17, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now here's a 75 to 99. How long is that? Or subtract 75 from 99. What do you have?
24.
You say that means nothing. That's 24. That's the number for worship. So it's a wonder here where God shows up to Abram when he's 99. That is the spirit's number is 9. 99. He appears to Abram and he reminds him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He's appealing to Abraham now to do something that he didn't do when he had Ishmael. Is continue to worship and serve me. Continue to trust me. I can do this. I don't need your help. I can get this done. And Abram is 90 years old and 9, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And he goes through and he gives Abram the covenant of circumcision. Verse 10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So here's God. He's 8 days old, which is the number for a new beginning. We might say resurrection, but it's a new beginning. Look at it this way. Abram has, he's already went off track. God's getting him back on track. God's getting him back on track. And he institutes this is a covenant in addition to the covenant that he just made in 15. Now, this covenant, he says, this covenant is in your flesh. And for 14, and the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, Abraham, do you notice the change there? From verse 5, in verse 5, he changes his name. He says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations, I will make thee. Come on. Somebody. No responsive reading.
A husbandman.
I'll read it again. Neither shall thy name, and read along with me. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations will I make thee. Okay. Nobody has the scriptures. A father of many nations have I made thee. Past tense. Abram has no children, but God is saying, I have made thee a father of many nations. His name changes from Abram to Abraham. And the Ham, in so many words, the latter part of that name, that is the injection of the Spirit, the Spirit's work. That's why Abram's 99 years old. And when you get to Romans, we know the story about Romans, that Abram, who considered not his body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. We'll look at that in a minute here. Let's move on to verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. There's a spirit injected into Sarah. So her name also changes. Verse 17. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, could you work with Ishmael instead? That's what he means. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He's doubting God. He's saying, man, that's the best I got. Can you work with this?
Let me help you out.
Right. You can't use that, what I gave you? No. That's a flesh work. We'll see that in a minute. Well, we know that, but we'll see it in a minute. Verse 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee, Jenny, at this set time in the next year. What do you think the set time is? Okay, let's go. And verse 22, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham, and Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money. Every male among the men of Abraham's house was circumcised. 23, and Abram took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money. Every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was, you know, write those numbers down, 99. He was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And what is it?
Rebellion.
It's rebellion. In the self same day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. So 99, you see that, 99 and 86. What is that? 99 minus 86.
13.
This is Abraham's growing pains. Let's say it that way. he's no believer is without struggle, are they? We know our walk, right? We had our ups and downs, right? That's whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, or the time, Blake, what time we should trust him. Those are the times we usually go off and kind of do it our way.
Yep.
And we get back and start over again. And one thing that grace does, especially, it allows us to, as long as we have opportunity, is to go back and do it over or do it right.
I thought about that verse where Paul's writing to Timothy and he says that thou might recover thyself out of the snare of the devil.
Yes.
Recover thyself.
Right. We have opportunity to get ourselves out of the hole, to get out of the ditch. And all it takes is listening and obeying his word, trusting him. Those words are not antonyms. Trust and obey. You know, we used to sing a song, trust and obey, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And we look at those words as being opposed to each other, but they go hand in hand. Right? So Abraham, he circumcises all that's in his house when he's 99 years old, and Sarah is to have a child, the scripture recorded, at the set time. So he's 99. He's 90 years old and nine, and he's waiting for the set time. So let's look down at verse chapter 18. Look down at verse, verse 7. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf. This is where the Lord comes down, and he's just about to go to Sodom, and he's appearing to Abraham to tell him what he's doing and to reinforce the promise that he made. So verse 18, verse 7, and Abram ran unto the Lord and fetched a tender calf. You know what? Go back to chapter 18, verse 1. This is just for you, Sharon. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away from, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant, and they said, So do as thou hast said. Now I'll let you go back and pick out the singulars and plurals. So do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the Lord. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Okay, Jenny, that's your second shot at it. Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. What is the time of life and the set time?
9 months.
9 months. Okay. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. What does that mean?
Conception, the ability to reproduce.
Stop getting it on.
That's the up-to-date version? Okay. Or Paul would say the flower of her age had passed. Verse 12, Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, Yeah, you did. You did. That's questioning God.
Is that where the expression comes, having the last laugh?
I guess her last laugh was not a good thing, but it turned out to be a good thing. So you're keeping up with the numbers here. You can see God at work, working with Abram's walk, working within, not confined, not dictating his walk, but God had already made him promises, immutable promises, I might add, according to Hebrews. These are things that God is working and still giving Abram, Johnny, he's still giving Abram free will. He has free will to make these mistakes, and God is not caught by surprise that these things are happening, that Abram's not doing this and he's not doing that. It's not catching him by surprise, because he's still working. His predetermined counsel and foreknowledge is able to take all these things into account. Verse 16, And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him. See that? That's one thing we can have confidence in as a believer, that he knows us. He knows, just like David, he says, I have found a man after my own heart. And you look at David and you say, what? After his own heart. And Abraham, same way. I know him. I know him, verse 19, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord might bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. Sounds like Genesis 11. He said, let me go down and see what's going on down here. But here you have Abraham, where the Lord appears unto him. And what I like this. He says in verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham that thing that I do, that thing which I do? You know, that is the Blake, that's the image principle too, where he's working with God. God's not keeping anything from him. Look over at John chapter 6. I believe it's John chapter 6.
The scriptures all say that God will do nothing but that he reveals his secrets to the prophets.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good one. Let's see.
I'm sorry, you said John where?
John chapter 6. Let's see. And I'm pretty sure that's the wrong one too. Verse John chapter 15. That's it. John chapter 15, verse 14. John chapter 15, verse 14. This is Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples here. John chapter 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So here's the same principle here, where the Lord is telling his disciples that I'm going to call you my friends, because a friend is different from a servant. Because a servant does not know what the master is doing. So what does that tell you about God's opinion and his relationship with Abram back here? When we go back to Genesis 17, and he says, shall I hide the thing from Abram that I'm going to do?
He was a friend.
That's what James said. James said that Abram was called the friend of God, even with his mishaps. That's the result of imputed righteousness. Now, I don't always do the things that God finds pleasing. I am better than a friend. I'm a son. That's a even closer relationship. Let's go down to verse 23, and then we'll wind it down here. 18:23. The Lord's going down to Sodom to see what the cry is of the city. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, now Abraham's thinking about his nephew. His nephew and the souls that he has accumulated when he goes down to Sodom. In verse 23, and Abraham drew near. And that's a good, by the way, Blake, that's a good image thought, isn't it? We just saw the Lord says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Well, here's Abraham. He's thinking, first thing he thinks of is, my nephew's down there. Is he gonna make it out? Verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abram answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Now you can see Abraham thinking, that's too high. I can't bank on that. Verse 30, and he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He's getting lower and lower and lower, lower and lower. 31. Now, a friend is able to do this. God is letting his friend haggle, the holy haggle. Verse 31. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Now, you would think he'd stop right there. But no, 32. And he says, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, and there's the magic number. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. 10's sake. What is he looking for, Blake? If he finds 10 what? 10 righteous people, 10
images.
He says, that's what I'm looking for. Verse 33, and the Lord went his way. And soon as he left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place, and we know how that story went, when Lot has to leave there running. And so we see that this walk with Abraham is a progressive walk, but not without its obstacles. And you look over at chapter 21, and then we'll stop with this verse here. Chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. For Sarah conceived, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Verse 6. And Sarah said, God had made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. So we'll stop there and kind of shift gears next week, dealing with Abraham, going towards a closeout, dealing with him. And I'll say this, our lesson from Abraham is that he's the father of the faithful. We see that he believed God with it, even with his challenges. We see that he's trusting God, and we see how God is working out his plan in spite of Abraham's shortcomings. If it depended on God's people to get the job done, he would be in big trouble. But he works out a counsel according to his own will. And fortunately, he empowers the people to get the job done that he wants done. He imputes us with not only righteousness, but with the ability to get things done that he wants done. So in that case, in that sense, Abraham is called the father of faith. But there's a, and I heard this from one of my good brothers, the members of the body of Christ today, they are not Abraham's seed, not spiritually. They have nothing to do with Abraham. We are totally different, totally self-sufficient from Abraham. And I can see his argument. So next week, we'll kind of shift gears and get a little more doctrinal, a little more technical. That's my plan. I may change my mind on that. If not, then we'll just pick up with some other aspect and then finish up with Abraham. So we'll stop there, pick up in 22 and continue on. So let's close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things for our benefit, for our learning. We pray as we spent this time in your word that we were edified, that we were enlightened to your purpose and your plan, and not just that, but how you deal with your people and how they respond in faith. We thank you again in Christ's name. Amen.